was the hottest one you've tasted?
I have one at home called The End that my buddy Willie got for me as a gag.
Hey guys, welcome back to Rave Culture Cast. We are here on Groove Cruise Day 2 and I'm here with Trifecta.
Hi.
How's it going?
I'm a little sleepy.
Yeah, just woke up 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, but I'm here. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course, yeah. And how many Groove Cruises is this for you?
This is number 3.
And how does it, what keeps you coming back?
I always tell the story. The first time I went on Groove Cruise, I'm not a cruise person. I do not like cruises. I want nothing to do with them. And the first time I got booked on it, I had second thoughts and I was like, I honestly don't think I want to do this.
Yeah.
And I was trying to fight my way out of it and everything like that. And ultimately I bit the bullet and I did it. Second I got off that boat, I said, put me on the next one immediately.
Nice.
It's just the best time ever. I don't know what it is. Honestly, there's something about kind of your metaphorically kind of jumping off the deep end, going on a cruise and just sort of figuring it out. Puts you out of your comfort zone. You play sets that you wouldn't normally play.
Right.
And you go back to back with people. You do all this stuff that you wouldn't normally do. Mm-hmm. And to me, it makes it sort of almost a journey. It's almost like a little personal journey. I almost feel like I went into the woods and took psychedelics for a week or something. You know, you come back and you're like, man, I've seen some things.
Yeah. You know? You've been transformed.
Yeah, it's as weird as it is, it almost kind of is a little transformational. Yeah.
Yeah, and you said you got to play different sets because last night was a different vibe.
Psytrance.
Yeah.
I love it.
Then tonight, you're doing a back-to-back.
Tonight, I'm doing a back-to-back with Blastoise, who's one of my favorite artists, and we haven't even prepared anything, and I'm not... the world's greatest freestyle DJ.
Okay.
So that's what I mean though.
Right.
You get out of your comfort zone and
it challenges you.
It very much so.
Yeah, and you're doing a lot of things, so I have to ask you, you're doing the hot ones challenge today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have a favorite type of sauce?
Oh yeah. I mean, all right. I got about 150 sauces.
Okay.
I'm not even kidding.
Oh shit. Okay.
But through all that, my one go-to, still Old Faithful, Frank's Red Hot.
Okay.
I love it. I love Frank's Red Hot. There's a lot of people who say it tastes too vinegary. I disagree.
Okay.
I love it. I think it's a classic.
Ooh. And what was the hottest one you've tasted?
I have one at home called The End that my buddy Willie got for me as a gag. It's called, actually, this is the version called The End Flatline. My math may be wrong here, but I believe, so you see the show Hot Ones, and they have that sauce like The Last Dab or whatever, and I think that one is 2 or 3 million Scovilles. The End Flatline is, I think, 7 million. And it's it's a toothpick. You use a little toothpick, you put a little bit on your tongue, you spit into the sink for an hour.
Yeah.
It's no fun.
It's just life-ending.
Horrible.
Yeah. Well, I want to go check that out today because I want to see how the competitors do in it.
There was one dude the last 2 years. There's one dude, I don't think he's here this year, and he kicks my ass both
really?
Times. Oh, yeah.
Okay,
He straight-faced, doesn't even care, houses it all, and just stares at me.
Okay, this is going to be a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, I randomly had this thought last night. Watching your set, there was this group of people vibing in your jersey. I just want to ask you, how does it feel when you see people wearing your merch in your jerseys?
I love it. I love it. Yeah. It's just really cool to be able to sort of captain something creative and have people connect with it and see them out there representing it.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I really like it. Yeah.
And you have so I just talked to Benny from Ophelia.
We
talked a little bit about your community, but also your artist friend group is so tight knit and the community has been built that way. How does it feel to perform with your friends?
Oh, it's great. We all say we don't know what we'd be doing without that. We kind of got real tight during the pandemic. We started a little WhatsApp and just got real close during that whole time. And I don't know. I feel like I'd be lost in this industry without them. You know, we all sort of come from different places, so we have different perspectives on everything and balance each other out really nicely. And the best is when we just do these stage takeovers or whatnot, and we all just, we all just get after it together. It's the best.
I was gonna say, the group chat is popping off with you guys.
Nonstop.
It's literally nonstop the whole weekend.
Yeah.
Okay, how would your friends describe you?
I don't know, Ken, how would you describe me?
Oh man, good stuff.
He said good stuff.
This is pre-interview, Ken.
How do I describe him? A bro.
A bro.
A bro.
My
okay,
man.
Very nice, very
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, my man. You try. You try.
Too nice.
Hey. You saying he's too nice or I'm too nice?
I'm saying he's too nice.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Trying to get
some perspective. Some of them, okay, depending who you ask,
sure.
You will get an answer ranging from the super nice dude to like an absolute insufferable pain in the ass and like an absolute grump.
Okay.
I am a good person though. Nobody's gonna say I'm doing them dirty and nobody's gonna say I'm doing it. But yeah, no, I don't know if you've ever seen the show Curb Your Enthusiasm with Larry David.
Okay.
I identify with him. I get very grumpy about things. Sort of the minutia, you know, the people holding up lines,
things
like that.
Patience.
Standing in a line when somebody doesn't close the gap, you know, like these things.
Okay, I was good. It's good to get like introspective and just like see what people are kind of feeling for you. But okay, favorite tour memory.
Oh God, my favorite tour memory is probably gone.
Yeah.
Man, that's
you guys have a lot of moments where you like all get up on stage and it just seems like you're just like celebrating such a good time.
Those are great. There's so many good ones, and thankfully I bring Drew, my photographer, around, and he documents everything. And I'll go through my photos and I'll be like, oh my God, I forgot this, I forgot that. This is amazing. I'm trying to think of a good one to tell you. I don't know. There's so many, like one that just pops into my head is when we did Miami Music Week, I don't know, a year or two ago, mm-hmm. and we got an Airbnb together, a bunch of the Ophelia guys.
Okay.
And one thing that just stands out is just us all grilling. It usually involves grilling. And at one point, I remember Wooly, we're always a little competitive with the steaks, cooking steaks. And when I just look over and Wooly's trying to cook steaks and he's got flames, like feet up God. In the air and shit. You know, I was just like, my man, how's that going over there? You know, yeah, that
didn't end well.
No, I think it actually did. He usually, he solves it, but it was just a really good visual, you know?
Yeah, him
being like, it's all going great, and he's got flames up to his head. Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. Yeah, I just think it's, like, special, because even, like, the community that you guys have, like there's a huge Discord channel for Ophelia, which is, like, amazing. But, like, how has your relationship with your fans kind of, like, developed?
Great. I try to be present and I try to be there and a part of the community. Mm-hmm. I don't really like the idea that you see some fan groups where, and this works for some artists, mm-hmm. but like where you have like the mysterious artists that they just sort of worship.
Yeah.
I don't really like, I kind of like being a man of the people. I kind of like being there and getting to know them and making real connections and you know, being a part of the community that's being formed around the music, mm-hmm. you know, and they're great. There's some, there are a handful of them that'll travel all over, you know, and mm-hmm. and that's just so cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think you build like lifelong fans that way, though. Even like interaction to interaction, like one on one time with people, like goes such a long way.
Yeah.
So you're like building that like one person at a time, almost.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that. I'm a big fan of the idea that the more you become a fan, mm-hmm. The more you're gonna get out of it, and I'm a big subscriber to the idea that you need to find super fans and delight them. Mm-hmm. You know, like I like the idea 100%. that if you're gonna be a fan of, you know, the whole trifecta thing, there's a chance you might be absolutely delighted. You know, at one point we might pull you backstage and like let you come say hi. You know, we might, you know, do something like that.
That's awesome.
I like you might end up having a drink before a show. You might end up eating fucking hot wings.
Yeah,
you know, like I like that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Have you read the book Superfans?
No,
I can show you that. It's like literally that concept.
Oh,
like
really?
Basically like building your fan base from like the bottom up for like people who like entry level to like your super fans at the top of like the pyramid.
Interesting.
And it talks about that, like literally how to like treat your super fans, because like those are the people
that's
gonna like trickle down to.
It's like made, it's I guess written for
the author, I'm like,
but it's like for people who have like
fan
bases.
Yeah, like building any
fan
bases. Yeah, and like how to like treat your super fans. So
yeah, you also remind me that.
It's really,
awesome.
Really good.
Yeah, good reading.
Okay, music wise, I wanna chat. So
let's go, come on.
Since the release of The Way Back Up, mm-hmm. how have you developed personally, professionally since then?
In a lot of ways.
Yeah.
How much time do we have?
No, you're good.
Yeah, no, I know. I'll try to keep that one short. But yeah, in a lot of ways, personally, you know, going out, doing a headline tour, doing a debut full album and everything like that, mm-hmm. it challenges you to sort of level up and meet the sort of like next level of mm-hmm. Of challenges, right? And you know, routing a whole, doing the whole tour and doing all that, and like being the one that has to sell the tickets that the fans are coming to see, mm-hmm. and then the sort of stress of creatively, okay, like here's what I'm doing, like now you're in the big game, now you're out there, now it's like, okay, you're no longer just coming up, it's kind of like, all right, here's where we sort of make or break, mm-hmm. you know? Here's everything that we've done creatively this whole time leads up to this. Right. And now it's like if you fumble the bag, you're just another artist that kind of didn't quite do it. Sure. And the stress of that, you got to kind of not think about it like that, but the stress of that kind of, you know, and that, mm-hmm. plus all the touring with all of the whole, hey, like, you know, show, finish show, 3 a.m., straight to airport, next show.
Yeah.
You know, you do that. The tour was like a year.
Oh, my God.
I was like, dude, what are you guys doing?
Like, the build-up before, the tour, like the promo, everything. Yeah,
it was, I mean, we ran it back. We added a part two, and we were touring for, we toured from like May till like March.
Oh, my God,
And I was like, yo, come on. So since then, like creatively, you know, finally I've gotten some time, sort of, to work on more music and really kind of work on the next body of work.
Okay. Did you have time to like decompress after that?
No. No, not really.
To recenter yourself? No.
Yeah, not really. Sort of. Okay. I've been just saying no to everything in the first couple months of this year, unless things are just like hard to say no to.
Yeah. Boundaries.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. I'm just like, I just need to finish music.
Right.
And thankfully, you know, I made this last year, the year of collabs and remixes, so sure. It was easier to finish songs because it would be a remix that was already sort of a song.
Yeah.
Or a collab where somebody else was carrying the load with me. Sure. But now I'm gearing up to do enough, you know, the next body of work, and that's mm-hmm. why I'm like, all right, everybody leaving the fuck alone.
Yeah. fair enough. Okay, my last question for you is, what gets you out of bed in the morning right now? Other than this interview.
Yeah. Oh, literally. Actually, it's funny you ask that. Yeah. Literally, this interview. Usually, if it's a show,
yeah,
I'm up too early for, you know, bullshit. Yeah. But no, on a typical day, I'll wake up. And I'll lay there. I'll like go on my phone because I hate going on my phone. But yeah. I need to work on this.
Sure.
And I get like grumpy and I like, you know, go on social media, and social media is designed to show you things yes. you don't like to get you worked up. And
yeah.
You know, and then I'll like, you know, go to like my little Dropbox, like listen to songs I was working on and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And then I'll like get a little inspiration. And something will click, and I'm up.
And you're up.
Kick the legs up, out of bed, make some coffee, get straight to work. Start shooting emails, start working on the sort of administrative side.
Nice.
Get in the studio and start working on the creative side.
Awesome.
I just wait for the little spark to click.
The music kind of like
that's
kicks it in.
It's always the music. At the end of the day, it's always the music. Yes.
What's your coffee order?
I use an espresso machine at home. I just drink a black like my soul.
Oh, beautiful point to end on. Okay, and I have a quick little like fast like rapid fire round. This is first. So first with Trifecta.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first CD you ever bought?
Power Man 5000, Tonight the Stars Revolt.
Oh, nice. Okay, first rave you attended?
maybe like Avicii at the venue? No. It was something in like 2011, 2012 in Tampa.
Okay, nice. Yeah. I was gonna say 2011 was like day glow for me. Like,
yeah,
like,
that was it.
Like, yeah. First remix you ever did?
I did one not as Trifecta. I did one before that what was the first one? I got the stems for Nicky Romero's Symphonica for a remix contest, and I thought I was gonna win. I won the community vote actually, but I didn't win the
final
thing.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, first music festival you played?
I was in a band,
and it
was
we're going back here.
Yeah, we went a lot. It was probably some like hippie festival in Florida.
Okay, nice. First person you call with good news?
Mom.
Nice. Yeah. And then first memory with a fan. Do you remember like a first like hardcore like fan interaction?
Yeah. First. Yeah, it was when Ken came up to me after a show. what was the first? I remember when I went on the... No! I think it was before I started even playing shows. There was like, I was releasing music on Monster Cat, and like that label is just, mm-hmm. you know, at the time it was especially back then a lot of sort of like gamers and computer kids, you know, and like, and so I wasn't playing shows, but I had like a million people listening online,
but
it was very weird. It was like this weird disconnect, you know, because they were all over the world and they were like not, they don't go out, they're not going to shows, you know, like, and I was teaching guitar at the time, and the drum teacher came up to my room and he was like, hey, Sam, like one of my students is actually a fan.
Aww.
And I think that's probably the first one that comes to mind.
That's amazing. Yeah. Hell yeah. Well, I'm so excited for your sets the rest of the weekend. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me. Great questions.
Of course. Bye, guys.
Bye.